The disciples of Jabab, John the Baptist, have hearts that are darkened with doubts because their leader is locked up in the slammer. I mean, they're probably thinking, what are we to do now? We give up everything to follow Jabab, and now he's locked up in the slammer. What are we going to do now? We can't go back to our day jobs. We gave those up. Our bosses have failed them. Oh, this is such a shame. Such an awful shame. I mean, we had such a great run. That little congregation on the banks of the Jordan River was bursting at the seams. People were coming out of the woodwork to hear John the Baptist, Jabab, preach and to get dunked in the Jordan River with that baptism for repentance. We were firing on all eight cylinders. It was something else, rocking and rolling. But all that changed with a single sermon. Jabab had to go after King Herod. He went right for the jugular. He preached against his sin of adultery and how he was shacking up with his brother's wife. Well, as you know, King Herod didn't like this. He tried to silence Jabab, tossed him in the slammer, throwing away the key. On that day, this little congregation on the banks of the Jordan River was closed up, shut down for good forever. This is not what we expected, folks. This was not what we signed up for. Was this a huge waste of time? Was this all for absolutely nothing? Oh, and what about this Jesus? Is he really the coming one? I mean, where's the axe-wielding Messiah who's supposed to be chopping down those unfruitful trees? Where's the winnowing fork-wielding Messiah who's supposed to be separating the wheat from the chaff, damning the wicked and vindicating the righteous? I mean, this Jesus that's walking around Nazareth is so meek and so tame and so mild. This is not what we expected. Are we supposed to be waiting for another? Now, Jabab, John the Baptist, knows that his disciples have doubts. And John the Baptist probably has doubts too. I mean, wouldn't you have doubts if you were hanging out in a dark, damp dungeon waiting for your head to be separated from your body? I know I would. Now, one thing we need to really get straight, folks, is that these towering figures of the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, like Jabab, John the Baptist, and King David, and Moses, and Mary Magdalene, they were like us in every way. They had their failures, their anger issues, their temptations, their struggles, and yes, even their doubts. But this is where Jabab, John the Baptist, is so instructive for us all. He is not silent with the disciples' doubts or even his own doubts. What does he do? Jabab, John the Baptist, does not leave his disciples in the dark. He points them to Jesus, who alone lightens the darkness of their doubting hearts. I mean, that's what we see in the gospel reading, right? Jesus sends his disciples on a little errand to Jesus, and this is life transforming. Absolutely changes them forever. Luke 7, verses 18 through 20. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" Now, what's so fascinating here is that Jesus does not respond with words, but with deeds. He rolls up his sleeves and he flexes his messianic muscles, letting his actions speak louder than words. Luke 7:21. In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. Now, is there a rhyme and reason to the miracles, the specific miracles that Jesus performs in this single hour? Yeah, there is. Yes. I mean, 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah promised that the Messiah would do such miracles. Check it out. Isaiah 35, verses 4 through 6. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Jesus checked all of the Messiah boxes. The blind see, check. The lame walk, check. The deaf hear, check. The mute speak, check. I mean, here's the guy who's doing in the flesh only those things that God could do. Only the creator of the universe could do. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. The case is closed. Are you the coming one? Yes, the Lord is among us. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And so, time to scram, disciples of John. Go back to him and give him the answer, the conclusive answer. Luke 7, verses 22 and 23. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Whatever JBAP thought about Jesus, here is the clarification, the validation that he needed. His ministry was not all for naught. He pointed people to the real deal, the right person. Even if JBAP's expectations were off, Jesus calls him blessed because he doesn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. He sticks with Jesus. He doesn't turn away from him. Look at where JBAP, John the Baptist, directs his doubts. He directs his doubts to the very one who can answer every single doubt. I mean, he is leading the way for his disciples. He knows that his disciples are about to bury him. But when they do, they will not despair. They will know exactly where to take their doubts. They will turn to Jesus. They will run to Jesus. The Jesus who's the destroyer of death. The Jesus who is the forgiver of sin. The Jesus who is the dispeller of doubts. JBAP cared for his disciples more than they realized that day. He sent them on that little errand to Jesus. And once those messengers, those disciples of John are gone, Jesus turns to the crowd. He directs his attention to the crowd. He needs to school them in the ministry of JBAP, John the Baptist. Because if you get JBAP right, you get JC right. You get Jesus right. Luke 7, verses 24 through 27. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" In other words, when you went out to that congregation on the banks of the Jordan River, what did you go out to see? An entertainer? Someone who amused you, who tickled your fancies? What did you go out to see? A fashion show? No. The people who wear Gucci and Armani are living it up in Hollywood and NYC penthouses. What did you go out to see then? A prophet? Oh, yes. More than a prophet, that JBAP is. Jabab is God's next to last man. With Jabab, the wait is over. Jabab is the one who built the royal highway for God into this world. His job is finished, mission accomplished. Behold, God is in your midst. Yes, God dwells with man in the God-man, Jesus. It was true then. It's true now. It's true today. Dear friends, do you have hearts darkened with doubts, tears, fears, or even the thought of your own death? Jabab, John the Baptist, points us to Jesus, who dwells here in his church, where we receive greater gifts than John the Baptist ever received in his lifetime. Right here in Christ Church are the gifts that we so desperately need, especially at a time like this. Darkness looms large for many right now. For so many, it is not the most wonderful time of the year. This is the time of year we miss our loved ones who won't be with us this holiday season. We miss their voices and their laughter and their jokes and their stories, their hugs and their kisses and their presence. They're gone. And this darkens our hearts with doubt. We question our Lord's love and care for us, saying, if God really loved me, if he really cared for me, then he would not have taken my loved one. He would not have allowed my loved one to suffer and die like that. He knows how much I needed my loved one. How could he do this to me? Now, if you aren't experiencing any darkness right now, you will. You will. There's always the darkness of death. And we're all going to go through that darkness unless Jesus comes back first. But let me tell you this, dear friends. What a difference it makes to go into that darkness with the light of Christ shining brightly in your heart and in mine. And on this Sunday, that's what we pray for. We pray for our Lord's gracious visitation into each and every one of our hearts. We prayed in the collect, Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. There's no one better to go into the darkness with than Jesus, who has already gone into the darkness of Good Friday and came out of the grave on Easter morning, glowing with resurrection glory. Jesus proved stronger and mightier than the darkness of death. He is stronger and mightier than the darkness of death, which means he is stronger and mightier than any darkness that we can ever face, including this holiday season, as we miss our loved ones. Dear friends, our loved ones who have died in the faith are not dead. They are alive and well. That's the truth. They're not just grass that withers and fades and then is gone. Jesus has given them, as he has given us, a life that cannot die. A life that is unbreakable and unshakable and unstoppable. So we don't go through the holiday season as those who have no hope. Dear friends, we have the greatest hope in the world. We have the greatest expectation of a joyful reunion with our loved ones who have died in the faith. We will embrace them and kiss them and hold them in the light of God's glory forevermore. And this fills us with joy. So much joy. I mean, if you caught it in the readings, I mean, the readings are bursting with joy on this Gaudete Sunday, this Rejoice Sunday, Check it out. Zephaniah 3:20. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. In the epistle reading, lots of rejoicing. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Joy is a result of what our Lord gives us. And he gives us oodles and oodles of gifts. Greater gifts than Jabez ever received. And that's why Jesus says in Luke 7:28 these words, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. See, Jabez died before the cross, the empty tomb, the ascension, and Pentecost. Jabez did not know those amazing gifts of the kingdom like we do, like the gift of the triune name in holy baptism and the gift of holy absolution anchored in the blood of Jesus and the gift of the body and blood of Jesus and holy communion. Today, on this Rejoice Sunday, John the Baptist sends us all to Jesus here in his church to receive greater gifts than Jabez ever received in his lifetime. Gifts that fill us with joy, a joy that nothing in all creation can take away. Gifts that give us that peace that transcends all understanding. That inward peace of knowing that God, he has this. He's going to bring me through my doubts and my tears and my fears and even my own death. The gifts that lift us up out of this age into that undying age to come. The gifts that celebrate the care and the love that God has for us. They remind us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. The gifts that enable us to face the darkness with hope and courage. Dear friends, whatever darkness you have in your life, take it to Jesus. For he is the light that no darkness can ever overcome. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.